What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Rosillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, first show of the season, at least for me. How are you doing on this fine Thursday evening?
It's first show. You think that, not a lot of games are going to be happening. We don't have anything to talk about, and we are now talking about before here of how much we can fit in. It's so much going on just on the goalies alone. So just happy to dive right into all of this information and then trying to make whatever sense we can out of it.
And before we get started, I just want to send our best to any patrons or listeners who are in Florida right now, having just been hit by Hurricane Milton. I know we were in the Team Krister Allied chat earlier today, and it sounds like patron Patty is doing okay. Very fortunate, very thankful that the worst did not happen, and hopefully everyone else is going to recover and get back to normal. There's some things in life that are more important than fantasy.
I echo that, especially, I forget the name, but the one that also hit North Carolina, I believe some of our patrons had been affected by that. So, you know, take care of yourself, and if you need any help with the hockey stuff, the Discord's here to help you, and it doesn't matter about that while you're taking care of everything else. So here to help where we can.
Yep. And related to that, the game supposed to be in Tampa Bay on Saturday has been postponed. Don't actually know the state of the arena, but obviously everybody in that area is focused on the recovery and the safety. So no game then. No announcements on the reschedule. I don't know if it's also going to affect the home games Tuesday and Thursday next week for the Lightning, but just keep your eye on the news and remember that as frustrating as it is to lose fantasy starts to something out of your control, there is a lot more at stake than a week one fantasy matchup here. Like, people's lives and livelihoods have been hit really hard. On to the next set of news. A couple of injuries to talk about. Everybody's favorite power play one darling on the Florida Panthers, Adam Boqvist, got hurt 4 minutes into the game, so we didn't really get to see him on power play one. What do you have about that, Chance?
So it looks like he's close to come back. He was actually practicing today with a bubble shield. He took a puck to the face, which was the source of the injury. So he's out tonight, and believe there's still a chance of him playing for Saturday in Buffalo. So looks like the major concern is gone. Now, the interesting thing is that everyone's like, okay, well, if he's out, that means that either Forsling or Ekblad would get the power play. And while Ekblad did get the power play during the game, he got injured, it's actually Uvis Balaninski that Balaninskis.
That's a tough one.
For the butchering of the name there is actually taking over the power play. I don't know if anything has happened yet on the power play, but when we started recording, power play one has been 0 for 7. So even if we'll see what happens, maybe it got switched out, maybe he did something. But right now, even when Boqvist is hurt, it looks like they don't want to have either Ekblad or Forsling batting the first power play.
I'm kind of wondering if this is one of those power play units that the defenseman actually doesn't have any value. You see it occasionally where just the forwards do so much on the power play, and Florida's a star-studded cast of forwards, that honestly, whether it's Ekblad or Boqvist or Uvis Balinskis, I don't know if I want any of them. Is that a bit too overreactive?
I think it could be. Like, the reason I just want to see is that, like, without seeing the stats for the previous years, I can't really say much. So I feel like what it is that right now you got Boqvist. Keep him on your IR. I'd be fine with activating him if it's not too much of a effort on Saturday, depending on how your roster looks. And I'd give him a few games, but, like, most likely, unless you're in the deepest of leagues, you picked him with one of your last draft picks, and if it's like going, say, for 3 or 4 games, is he in there and he's not doing anything? It's not one of those situations where you have to be married to him, but I feel like I would give him a little bit of rope when he's back healthy.
Next set of injuries, a trio of goalies are hurt. Joseph Wohl ended up on the IR with Dennis Hildeby, the Hildebeest, starting today's game for Toronto. I think he's winning, too. I think he's played pretty well. Wohl going on IR to start the season is never good. I do know he has a massive injury history dating back to his like junior or college days. I forget which one he played in. A couple people I was talking to were expressing a lot of concern about him as a dynasty goalie, even just because he really can't stay healthy and goaltending is really tough on the joints and the knees. Another goalie, UC Saros, went day-to-day yesterday. Practice this morning was apparently a game-time decision, even though they confirmed Wedgwood hours before they said that. And Saros is not playing, but says it's nothing serious. Hopefully he'll be back in the net Saturday. And on the flip side, Ilya Sorokin was healthy enough to back up, but Semyon Varlamov is getting the first start. Anything to add on those three? Feels like two of them are pretty cut and dry, and who knows what's going on with Wohl.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of be the situation. It's just, you know, for Sorokin and Saros, I feel like it's just a matter of time when they get to play. So, you know, you get your free stream with the other goalie. But for Wohl, that's going to be an interesting thing, especially with the fact that it's just a normal IR. So it's not even like cap gymnastics, what you might see a team do. So it's just immediately with IR, going to be missing this whole fantasy week worth of games. That's something you don't just kind of do flippantly, especially when you have a back-to-back that you notice coming up. That's something showing a sign that you know that you don't want him playing, like either from that he's hurt a decent amount or you're so scared that he could get hurt more, which is still an issue in its own right, that you're not going to play him. So I feel like it's, you know, while you have the whole, he's on a good team, he's going to get the wins, but you can't get onto the ice, it doesn't matter.
Next up, we got some clarity on the Boone Jenner injury. Unfortunately, he's going to be out 5 to 6 months. I don't think I saw exactly what it is, but that's really rough, especially for just falling into the boards, like non-contact, a slip of the skate. Boone Jenner is such a fun player to watch and was poised to be one of the few bright spots in a reeling Columbus team. You had in the notes that you're going to let other people try to find gems on Columbus, and I kind of agree. I was looking at their power play units today, and I'm like, which of these guys do I want to own in fantasy? Maybe none of them? It's going to be a tough year for the Columbus Blue Jackets, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be the situation someone's going to have to produce, but I'm not sure how well they will produce, so I'm hoping that if you could see someone doing half decent, they're probably going to be on free agency anyway, and then you just have to click your finger. And then if you get beat out, congratulations, you missed out on, you know, a half decent bottom roster player, because I don't think anyone's going to be a league winner out of this team.
I do think Adam Fantilli has some intrigue. Players of his caliber or in his draft pedigree can often grow in leaps and bounds, and he's going to be thrust into some roles where maybe a better equipped team would slow their roll. He should have a pretty high shot volume, should get the time on ice. Maybe he'll evolve into a true 1C by the end of the year and show why he was ranked right behind Bedard in some people's rankings. Next up, I've got a fun little section that is one of my favorite things to do 1 week into the season. It's called Am I Overreacting? I am going to read to you a handful of statements that I have come up with based on things I've been reading in the Keeping Carlson Discord, on other hockey forums, or just from the depths of my own mind, and you're going to tell me whether or not it's a complete overreaction or it's a good take. My first one, 5 out of 6 in Utah's top 6 is roster worthy, like not streamer, but hold for the entire year. That would be Clayton Keller, Nick Schmaltz, Barrett Hayton, Dylan Genther, Logan Cooley. I would want any one of those players right now.
So the only one I have reservations with to a level is Cooley, because if I remember correctly, he's not power play one. And I feel like the offensive quality drops considerably after them. So like I'm fine 100% with the top line guys. Genther, I was kind of like half and half, but like he seems to be, you know, has the pedigree and he's on power play one. So like, Cooley's the only one though, where I am a little bit of a uncertain, the fact that he's not on the power play. He's a straight center. that's the only one that, like, you know, if you want to have him, sure, but I wouldn't be chomping at the bit and be like, oh, he's free agent in your division, what are you doing kind of thing. But the rest, I'm with you. I want him on my team.
Yeah, Cooley, another downside to Cooley is he does not shoot a ton, and with shots being a bit of value in Kakupfel, Cooley's kind of shaping up to have the classic Nick Backstrom type of stat line, where even if he gets, you know, 70 points, it may be 60 assists, and with not a lot of shots, that actually may not be valuable in certain fantasy leagues. I will note, he does have a power play assist today, while on power play too, as you said. So him and Michelli and Lawson Krause hooked up for a goal. But yeah, I'm like drinking the Utah Kool-Aid, like just the way they've treated that team since they've arrived and the young players all poised to break out. I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I'm probably as high as anybody can be on Utah right now, which is going to be interesting. All right, second statement. Drop them while they're not hot. Jack Quinn. I think Jack Quinn should just be off your roster. And coming from me, this is a lot because I drafted him in like the 11th and 12th rounds in a few leagues. I thought he was going to surpass Paterka as the third forward you want on Buffalo. I thought he was going to be 2.7 to 3 shots per game, 60 point guy. I thought he was a late round gem. And having watched the disarray Buffalo is in and the deployment he's gotten, I've already cut him in the leagues I drafted him in.
I'm 100% with you. Is that like, I wasn't as sold with him on like during the draft, but he was this kind of guy that like, hey, I'd rather take a shot on Quinn than taking like a Kalorn or something late in the draft. Like, so drafting him, taking a shot on him, but with the play of Buffalo in general, like I have Paterka and Tuck right now. And I'm like, did I make a mistake? And they're actually getting, you know, ice time and like deployment. Quinn is not doing that. He's not taking any shots. I would say just cut bait and just find your hope elsewhere. Hopefully you didn't spend too much draft capital on him.
Yeah, so this is more of an I told you shit so from you than a change of opinion. I definitely have changed my opinion a little quickly, which was why I was wondering if it was an overreaction. Next up, I think Evan Rodriguez is worth a hold as long as he stays with the Barkov and Reinhart line. And I'm going to click for a second, so apologies for the sound, Elon. I had some stats from last year. Last year, when Erod played with Barkov and Reinhart at even strength, that line averaged 4.35 goals per 60. Erod had 17 points in 393 minutes. Without Barkov and Reinhart, they only averaged 1.89 goals per 60 with Erod on the ice, and he only had 12 points in 676 minutes. If you scale the with Barkov and Reinhart all year type of even strength production and add in a handful of power play points from the second unit, that could be a 50 to 55 point guy. And I think a 55 point Erod probably belongs on the bottom of most fantasy rosters. What do you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. It really depends on how deep your league is. It's like if you're exploring like the opportunity of a second line, second power play kind of person, if that's the kind of league you're in, and I would say Kakupfel, depending on your situation, is a league like that, that I would be in love with a guy like this because he has the quality of people at that even strength. Even if the power play may not be as good, is that you're going to be spending more time at even strength anyway, and you have that kind of skill, that I would be interested in holding on to him, or depending on your league, being that guy that's like living at the top of your waiver wire to pick up when the schedule looks good for him.
And last but not least, I have a fun non-fantasy related take. I believe that when the Four Nations face-off comes around in February, one of the three goalies on Team Canada will be Sam Montembeau. I think he's had some of the best adjusted stats over the last year and a half. He had a great shutout yesterday, which is why it may be an overreaction, 47 saves, I believe. But his competition isn't that great. Binnington, Hill, Kemper, I listed a bunch of names there. I forget all the ones I put. Marc-Andre Fleury is probably going to get a victory lap on Team Canada as their third goalie, but I'm not quite ready to say Montembeau's their starter, but I think he could be.
Yeah, the years of having, you know, three shutdown goalies for Canada in the Olympics is long gone. Like, right now, we're going to be basically talking about some of these players, I believe, for how bad they did in the last few games. So the fact of just him keeping steady with what he's doing, you know, I would be able to see him. And also, if I remember correctly, you know, a lot of these are on the older end that, like, even if they want to get, like, Canada wants to invite them, they might be like, hey, I'm going to take the break and have some wounds heal. That I would not be surprised if he gets in. Now, I would not have thought of this until you brought this up, though, to be perfectly honest, though.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of weird ones where I was, like, just watching the game, and I'm like, man, if you think about the international stuff, maybe he has a chance. Well, with that, let's go for a quick ad break. And when we come back, we have more goalie talk. I think it's only goalies after the break. So if that's your thing, be ready to listen. Be right back.
The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now. The puck's dropping on the 24-25 season. Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. Or, of course, you could always bet on over-under. That's always a fun one. I'm looking at the lines for tomorrow. I'm seeing Philadelphia versus Vancouver over-under 6. I mean, Vancouver and Calgary just had a 6-5 game. I guess it's a big question of whether the Canucks will be able to keep things a little tighter this time. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
You know what's really fun? Going to hockey games. It's the best. I love when you're at the arena and then your team scores, everyone's high-fiving, you're high-fiving strangers. When else can you high-five a stranger? I don't even know. There's no other situation. It's the only time. It's when you buy tickets to a hockey game. And guess what? We now have a sponsor for this episode that's going to help you get tickets to your hockey games or other sports or even like concerts or shows. It's called Game Time, and they've got it all. And also, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite team play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. It's really good. It's called Game Time. Did you catch that? I'm looking at the website right now. I'm seeing that the Leafs are playing against Pittsburgh. I live in Toronto. I don't know if you knew this. Against Pittsburgh on Saturday. I thought it's really expensive to go to a Leafs game, but I'm looking at Game Time here. I can get the cheapest ticket, $174, to get section 320, row 18. It shows a picture of exactly how it'll look. Looks great. It will be a great time. I wish I can go. I have a kid. I can't go this weekend. One day, I'm going to go leave the house again, and it'll be a lot of fun. But until then, I'm going to have to live vicariously through the listeners of Keeping Carlson. So go check out Game Time. Get those tickets. Have a good time. There's a lot of really great other features on the site. I'll mention one right now. They've got this Game Time guarantee. You're always going to get the best price, okay? If you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time is going to credit you 110% of the difference. Also, they've got job loss assurance. You buy a ticket, then you lose your job, you'll get a refund. So anyone listening who is worried that they may be on the chopping block and might not be able to afford tickets soon, you don't even have to worry about that, okay? You're good. That's Game Time, okay? That's the Game Time guarantee. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Welcome back, everyone. As promised, we've got some goalies to run through. Shams, you have a list of goalies who had absolutely awful performances in their first game. We're just going to run through them rapid fire style and give our takes. You may or may not agree with them. Why don't you start with the first one here?
Oh, well, they're back to their old selves of last year of just not doing anything in the first game. Stuart Skinner had allowed 5 goals on 13 shots, and it could have been more, but he got pulled in the second period. So the way I look at this is that I know people like Calvin Pickard, but I see him in Detroit. I see him, you know, he's a journeyman for a reason that I am willing to hitch my wagon still on Stuart Skinner. He had this crappy period last year, and then hopefully that he comes out of it like he did last year. It's not, you know, it's a brutal pill to eat early on, but it's not like they have, you know, anyone else to come take the job from him.
Agreed. Like, I'm not panicking on Stuart Skinner, and if someone by some miracle drops him or is trading him for cheap, I would drop possibly 100% of my fab on Stuart Skinner if he gets dropped in Kupfel. Next up, Tristan Jarry, 6 goals allowed on 41 shots for an .854 save percentage. I think it is what it is. I think anybody drafting Jarry expected a crappy performance on a team that might not even make playoffs, and they were just hoping for the game volume. Like, he had a terrible year last year, and I don't think Pittsburgh is any better than they were last year. So I think there is more of this to come. I think he's going to be very frustrating. And even more so when Alex Nedeljkovic comes back from injury, it may end up a timeshare or he could lose the job. That's just not going to be a fun situation. Hopefully you didn't spend more than a late round pick on Jarry.
Yeah, and to add injury to that is that Blomqvist is starting because it's a back-to-back, and they're currently winning 4-1 in the second period. So I know it's the Red Wings. I'm a fan, but like, they're not, you know, total turnovers. But like, the fact that he's able to do that is not a good sign for just Jarry in general. Now, talking about teams that are probably more pushovers, we're going to go to Chicago, and Petr Mrazek allowed 5 goals on 26 shots for an .808 save percentage against, I believe it was Utah. And like, this is one where I feel like it is a concern, because last year he was able to survive because it was like no one was behind him. And then right now, while injured, it looks like that Brassois is ready to come back soon. And I feel like that, you know, the old just being able to eat the bad starts and then maybe get some good starts and then that will average out. I will fine with riding that for now, but the second that Brassois comes back, this could turn into a split, or even worse, Brassois might just take the whole net.
I agree. And to add to that, even worse, I think Chicago got better slightly from last year, and by doing so made the goalie situation worse, because last year you could rely on 40 plus shots, and 6 goals on 40 or 45 shots isn't the end of the world, let alone if he manages to pull out a win on that. Now they've added some more shutdown type defenders like Alec Martinez, and their forwards are a bit deeper. I don't know if Chicago's going to really give up 36, I think they averaged 36 or 37 shots against a game last year. I think they're going to be back down in the 32-30 range like most teams, and that's just worse for a goalie. Alexander Georgiev, 5 goals allowed on 16 shots for a .688 save percentages. Man, you don't often see this many save percentages in the 600s. At least that's the second one we've seen. I actually am a bit worried about this one. Maybe a bit overreactive, but Georgiev's near the end of his contract. Eustace Annunen is quite ready, as they also have Ilya Nabokov. And also, have you seen the bottom nine in Colorado? They may have the worst bottom nine of like any playoff contender in the league. I think they're going to give up a lot of high-quality chances against this year, and I think they're still going to win games and be a playoff team, but I don't think, like, I'd rather own like Bobrovsky than Georgiev if you're going for a goalie who's just going to get you wins. I'd rather own whoever comes out on top of the Vegas tandem. But yeah, I'd be a bit nervous to have Georgie right now.
I'm with you, like, on just Colorado in general, they really need to have Nichushkin and Lekkonen back. And even with that, then they would have like a decent top six. That the bottom six would still be kind of sketchy in general, but like in with that team, is that it really just kind of depends. Is that I'm not much of a prospect person, so I'm not sure how to feel about Anunin and the I believe you said Nabokov. So if they have people that could potentially take over, and the fact that, you know, Georgiev got pulled, like, I guess you're going to get pulled with a 688, but like, there's got to be something there to like give the coach some sort of life. That there was even, I believe, some talk early in the season, I believe in the offseason, that they wanted to put Anunin in the game more. So Georgiev is opening that door even further. So I am paranoid with him. And talking about opening up a door, while it was a win, Dan Vladar didn't really put up much of a good protection with a 5 goals on 20 shots, having 800 save percentage. Got the OT win, but the nice thing was is that this is kind of a double-edged sword, is that he got the start, so he has the coach's interest in him. He did just fight it up that I feel like this is going to be that situation where him with the experience matched with Wolf, that we all know he has the pedigree, but with the kind of just, you know, young goalies, they want to take them slowly, that this is primed for a 50-50 split or like kind of a shifting hand back and forth, that like there's not going to be really any regularity of knowing, oh, you know, next Saturday, I know it's going to be this guy unless it's a back-to-back. So that's going to be the part that just kills any interest in having either goalie.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance that Wolf is the starter by the end of the year. I don't have much of a belief in Dan Vladar. Wolf is also one of the best prospect goalies. He was drafted late because he was undersized, but has continually put up like 925s at every level he's played at. The other thing that's interesting, I'm going to pull something up from a bit later. There was a line from the coach, and we know how everybody loves coach speak. The coach said it's a win and you're in situation, which I've actually never heard it described that way, but we've definitely seen in the past where the coach will keep rolling with a goalie until he loses a game. So if he actually holds true to that, maybe that can help you predict who's in net next time. If I remember, the Islanders did that one year when Sorokin was a bit younger. And so, you know, if Wolf plays Saturday and wins, maybe he gets Tuesday also. It's going to be interesting to watch. Who do you think gets more starts this year, Wolf or Anunin?
I feel like Wolf probably has the best chance, but I feel like that Anunin has the highest peak of potential. Like, I have a feeling that unless there's an injury or something, that they're going to try to keep the leash on Wolf a little bit. But if Georgiev just keeps on crumbling, Colorado wants to win and set up to win, that they're not going to be afraid to just give the better goalie all the time.
I agree. I think Anunin starts are going to be worth more in fantasy, but Wolf may have more of them. And at this, that you'll have to balance your league settings and which one's actually valuable. Last but not least, Archer's Seelovs on the other end of that Calgary-Vancouver game gave up 6 goals on 26 shots, blowing a 4-1 lead. It was honestly pretty ugly. I watched a lot of that game because it was the last one on that night, and he looked pretty bad. I think this one's danger zone. They've expressed that Kevin Lankinen is a worthwhile goalie. I actually thought Kevin Lankinen was really good as a backup in his last stop in Nashville. I don't know if that's going to be worth acting on and owning, but I would not be clutching tight to Shilovs at all. And also there's Thatcher Demko looming whenever the chronic knee injury he's dealing with gets good enough to get him on the ice. I suspect Demko will be back by midseason at least. So not much there.
I'm with you, especially with, you know, I feel like there was a reason to give him the first game because of how he played last year to close it. But with Lankinen's pedigree, not sure if it was his agent or himself that made him fly around on free agency this long, but he has the pedigree Lankinen to be able to play well, that I could see him taking more of the starts, especially once we get further into the season. And then we have to roll the dice on if Demko comes back and then how much, and then that's a whole mess on its own, right?
Totally. And I think I've been reading a bit on Demko's injury, and I'm not a doctor, but it sounds like it's some sort of like chronic type injury where they may have to scale back his workload for him to be able to play at all. I definitely would be worried about Demko as a long-term asset. It kind of sucks for him and for Canucks fans. I mean, if I am completely misinterpreting what I've read and someone like Victor is listening to this, please let me know in the chat. I would be happy to correct that next week. Other goalie news, some coach speak. In Vegas, Cassidy said that both Aiden Hill and Ilya Samsonov will play quite a bit in the early season. Sounds like we're in for a rotation. I had part of that rotation last year. They also both got injured last year, that being Hill and Thompson. And Samsonov is not the healthiest of guys either. This sounds like a headache. I don't want to deal with it, but they probably are both worth owning if they're going 50-50. Well, what do you say?
Yeah, it's going to be that weird dance of depending on how much volume you need in your league. If I remember correctly, I think I saw somewhere that Vegas does have a decent amount of games early on in the season, which could make sense of needing this split. So I could see this is potentially a situation where you have both of them play a decent amount, and then someone hopefully maybe takes the reins later into the season and maybe turns into a 60-40 or a greater split. But with the history of both Hill and Samsonov not being the most healthiest of goalies, I would see them wanting to make sure that one's neither are getting overplayed, especially in a compacted set of games. And going to the next team, Detroit, with going from a mess of goalies last year to another mess of goalies this year with a new face. We got Billy Husso, who is supposedly healthy right now. I think he's played today. I'm not sure what the final score is. It's 4-2 right now, so it's not looking so hot for him. Then we got Alex Lyon, the upstart that was brought in that kind of took the reins at last year, but didn't really do too much with it other than volume. And then out of nowhere, they decided to sign Cam Talbot to be the third. It was enough of kind of a headache, the fact to have Husso and Lyon together. Now that they add Talbot and all of them are made the team, and the coach says he's confident starting any of the three in net, this is going to be just the biggest headache, because in other leagues, or sorry, other teams, is that usually one of these guys has waiver eligibility and they could just kind of sneak them down and then stick with two. But all of these three need waivers, and all three of them are good enough that I wouldn't be surprised to get claims. So they're not going to risk any of them. They're all going to hang around. And if they're going to hang around on the team, they're going to be played. So this is going to be a situation where, you know, I'm a Wings fan. I'm not the homer that thinks that they're going to, you know, win the cup. So they're not the greatest team. So you're not guaranteed a win when they play. You're not sure how it's going to end up, even just overall with the skill level, because none of them have the greatest pedigree and they're not going to get volume. This is a situation where I'm not even 100% sure I want to spot start them when it comes up for streaming.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Spot starting them means you expect the Wings to win, and that may be a team by team, opponent by opponent decision. And I doubt any of them are going to get two starts in a row, at least while all three are healthy. So that really kills any fantasy value. Question in the chat. Kevin asks, which injury-riddled number one goalie would you rather take a bet on, Wohl or Hill? I said Hill. I just think he's got the better health record, and I think the teams are pretty comparable as far as the wins and the score lines they're going to have. What say you?
I'm with you on that, and an add is that the alternatives on each other's teams is that I would be more afraid of Stolarz than Samsonov. So even with us talking about the split potential, is that Samsonov is flared out enough, has his own injury risk. So there could be a situation where they are just forced to play Hill anyway.
And last but not least, we have another goalie triumvirate to deal with in Minnesota. Gustafsson, Fleury, and Wallstedts were all on the roster to start the season, with the coach saying that Jesper Wallstedt has earned the right to be here. And then Wallstedt got sent down before the first game. I did some research on that. It sounds like he was sent down because Declan Chisholm was sick, and so they needed to recall Damon Hunt to play defense for them. I suspect Wallstedt does come back up in the next couple days when their full roster is healthy. And I kind of read this as, I still think Gustafsson's going to get about half the games. I think Wallstedt's going to get a couple starts early in the season. And unless he forces their hand, they're just going to send him down to let him start 60 games in Iowa this year. And then Fleury's in his last season. He's just here for the fun of it. I don't think he's going to play more than 25 games or 30 games. Do you have a different read on this situation?
I think that makes sense. It really just depends on, I feel like it's Gustafsson, it's his net to win. And really, I guess it's the idea will be, it's just kind of keeping an eye on his stats, keeping an eye on what the coaches say, that kind of idea. And then see if he leaves the door open. But if he plays well enough, I'm with you, is that, you know, Fleury is probably going to be on that, you know, retirement tour. He literally announced it before the start of the season. So I feel like we're going to have those kind of situations where he's, you know, trading pucks and whatnot and when he's at certain venues, but I'm not too worried from him. But he's going to take enough to kind of still bring down everyone's value enough, but not enough to actually care about him. So it's that weird double-edged sword with him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. With that, that's the end of our first short shift of the season. Shaking off the rust here, just like some of these NHL teams who have given up a lot of goals early. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK. Actually, is that even true anymore? I think Lewis moved over to Blue Sky over the website formerly known as Twitter. I'll get Lewis to update this outro, as well as Brian and Elon at Keeping Carlson. Please use www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info about goalie starts and lines and searchable tweets by player name. Real great, real useful resource. I have notifications for it, and that is why I can often get goalie starts before most of my league mates. Visit that site and the other great sites we use for research on Yahoo, Frozen Tools, Icy Data, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach, and John Reed is our digital media producer. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.